me, Genesis chapter 9. I started my yearly Bible readings, of course, in the book of Genesis, and I do my daily Bible readings in the New King James Version. I'll be preaching from that version this morning, but this afternoon I'll go back to the old King James because I think in this chapter of Genesis it's a better translation of the words. But I can read to you the introduction of Genesis that was given by the New King James translators. And they say that the first part of Genesis focuses on the beginning and spread of sin in the world and culminates in a devastating flood in the days of Noah. Genesis is a Greek word meaning origin, source, generation, or beginning. The literary structure of Genesis is clear and is built around 11 separate units, each including the word genealogy in the phrase, "This is the genealogy." So in a lot of ways, the book of Genesis is a book, a record of genealogies. It really is a record of the human race, the beginning of the human race and all the ethnicities, races, and nationalities that you find. So we have brought a few messages concerning Noah's Ark, the flood. We spoke about the two birds that Noah sent out of the boat. They were the raven and the dove. And I think if you missed that one, you can get back on Facebook, get on Jordan Baptist Church's Facebook, and you can download and watch the that last message. Now, today, we want to speak about the rainbow. We know that the waters have now receded, and the boat is resting on a mountain. Most would say it rested somewhere on Mount Ararat. There have been claims that they have found the remains of Noah's Ark, but that's not really conclusive. If you really want to see that ark, go up there to Williamsburg, Kentucky, and they have a life-size replica, exactly to dimension, of that great ark. And you know what? I didn't know that Noah had a restaurant in that ark. But they have a marvelous buffet that you can enjoy down there afterwards. Well, if they ever found the Noah remains of the ark, it would be quite a find. But today I want to speak here in Romans chapter 9, and let's start in verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. And every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with the life, that is its blood. And surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man." So we see here that God gives Noah and his family some prohibitions as well as some observances. First, God gives them permission to eat pretty much all things. We know he would restrict that for Israel and prevent them from eating unclean foods. That's the stuff we like, the unclean foods. But they were given permission to eat meat and fish. Previous, they were vegetarians. They could only eat that. I could never be a vegetarian. I tried that once. It lasted about an hour. Now, they didn't have meat that would be their only choice. They didn't have to eat meat, is what I'm saying. That would be their choice. The only thing I will say that if you choose to eat an animal, you got to understand you're also going to eat what that animal eats. And I think that was part of the reason God prohibited some foods, some of that. Like we talked about the two birds, the dove and the raven. I've eaten dove. It's a clean animal. Raven, no. Ravens will eat garbage. They'll eat anything that's dead. I don't want to eat anything that eats anything dead. I tell you, when I moved here, believe it or not, December of 1990, we moved to Sanford, Florida. And I got to tell you that previous to that point, I did not eat hog. I would not eat bacon. I would not eat ham. Now, I might have eaten a little bit of it before, but by and large, I did not eat any hog because it was unclean. Now, I got to tell you, I started eating hog when I moved here, and I've been going downhill ever since. But the only prohibition is that they were not to eat anything raw. They were not to eat anything with blood. That's why I don't eat sushi. If you like sushi, that's your choice, but you can get sick on that, so I don't eat that. And I got to tell you this, if I eat steak, I want it well done. The next prohibition was to reinforce a capital punishment for murder. And he mentions that here in verse 5. For the lifeblood, God says he would demand punishment or retribution or reckoning from the New King James Version. From the hand of every beast I'll require it. Verse 6. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. And so murder defaces in some way the divine image. Only God has the right to take a life. And I'd say the only exception is maybe taking a life in time of war if you had to defend the nation, which we're doing now. The next thing for Noah and his family was the admonition that they must populate the earth. It seems the human race now is starting over. And so in verse 7, he said, as for you, be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Multiply, reproduce on the earth. And so now we come to see how God established his covenant with Noah. Notice verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant, which I make between me and you, and every living creature is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The rainbow is the sign of God's covenant, and it is the sign of the covenant of God's grace. Now, you remember before the flood, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. An entire generation was judged and wiped off the earth by the flood. But only Noah and his family were saved in that ark. I watched a movie one time about Noah. It wasn't out too long ago, and they had people that kind of hid on the boat besides Noah. That's unscriptural. Only Noah and his family were spared that judgment. And so God put a beautiful rainbow in the sky to say, this is my covenant of grace that I make with my people and with the earth. Now, the rainbow has also been associated with pagan movements. Oh, yeah. We know that the gay and lesbian folks have adopted the rainbow as their sign, right? And but that's, they didn't get it from Noah. They got it from somewhere else. Pagan movements have used the rainbow long before it was adopted by the LGBT community. The New Age movement uses the rainbow to signify their building of what they call the Rainbow Bridge, or it is technically called the Antikorana, which is a sign welcoming Lucifer as their god. You can see this rainbow sign in some bookstores and vitamin shops. I've seen it. It's not Noah's rainbow. It's the Anakara. It is the pagan sign. They embrace reincarnation as well as evolution. And this movement also embraces the doctrine of wholeness, sometimes called holistic thinking. It was the very thing, the idea that the Aryan man would become the master of the world. And this is where Nazism, as well as the Ku Klux Klan, came from. They have rainbows too. So these pagans adopt the rainbow as their international sign of peace. Have you noticed that the people that march for Palestinian rights are really the same people that march for LGBT rights? You know how I know that? Because look at their placards and signs that they're carrying around in these protests. They all have a rainbow. That's not the rainbow of Noah. That's the rainbow of Lucifer. Okay. They also have some animals they like. I don't know if I should mention these or not. The Pegasus and the unicorn. Now, don't throw out all your toys about that. But here's the point. You know, God gave us a beautiful rainbow after the rain that would always, should always remind us of His covenant of grace and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. All human beauties, all divine, in my beloved, meet and shine. They all meet and shine in Jesus. Now, let me say this. This rainbow reflects the covenant of grace, and I will say this. It is a fruitful covenant. That's the first thing I can say. You know, God told Noah to go out and replenish the world. They did that. And I believe that Noah and his three sons did spread out over the earth soon after the rainbow appeared. This is interesting. A lot of folks think that Noah and his sons were with Nimrod and his bunch when they, you know, erected the tower to go to heaven, and then God had to disperse the nations and confuse their languages. Well, I personally don't believe Noah was there. I think Noah and them had already spread out along the very places that God wanted them to go. And so Noah and his family, they were God's chosen people, unlike the crowd that followed Nimrod, who sought to build a one-world nation and a one-world religion of paganism. So some might say that God's instructions to Noah was a covenant of works. That's what some of my Reformed brothers, they believe that there was a covenant of works. I disagree with that. I don't think God ever gave man a covenant of works. I think God gave man a covenant of grace. And I know that's so because Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." We are His workmanship. So it's a covenant of grace. And it's the covenant of grace that produces any works that we might do for God. So Noah and his family were able to leave the ark. They went into the world And so the Bible tells us that we as God's covenant people, we as God's chosen people, while we live in the world, we are not of this world. All right? No, Jesus said in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Get that? God has chosen his people out of this world. Therefore, the world hateth you. John 17:15, Jesus prayed. He said, I prayed that thou shouldest take them, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus said, we can't leave the world, but we ought to leave the evil of the world alone. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Noah was to go forth and replenish the earth, and I feel that we as God's people, I think the best thing we can do for this world is to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ and tell the world about God's rainbow, the covenant of grace. Now, so this is a covenant, yes, of a fruitful covenant. Go forth and multiply. And then this is a covenant, not only a fruitful covenant, but this is a covenant of friendship with God. Follow along here in Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. God spoke to Noah and to his sons, and here's what he told them. As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. You're a special people. These were God's chosen people, or you could say God's elect. And I have established this covenant. I've made an agreement with you and your descendants. And not only that, but notice verse 10, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, a covenant of friendship. This would be a covenant made with Noah and his seed. And it would even extend to the animals that also left Noah's ark. You see, we are friends with God. Every believing child of God, everyone that believes in Jesus is a friend of God. And not only are we friends of God, listen, we're friends with all of God's chosen people. We are friends with one another. You might say that God's people, or the church of the Lord, would make up a rainbow coalition. Now, I'm not talking about the Rainbow Coalition, which was kind of the anti-racist, working-class, multicultural movement founded in April 4th, 1969 in Chicago by Fred Hampton. He was the head of the Black Panther Party. They have a Rainbow Coalition. They're dealing with, supposedly, with racism. They might fly under the pagan rainbow, too. But let me say this to you, that there is no need for racism in the family of God. There's no place for it. No place at all. You know, listen, we are all one in Christ. Doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, what nationality, what creed, what color that you are. If you're saved, if you know Jesus is your Savior, hey, listen, you're my brother and you're my sister in Christ. I don't look at people, well, that was a black person or a brown person or a yellow person or that's a Jewish person. I don't think in those terms anymore. I used to, but when I got saved, hey, I realized that God placed me in his family. Hey, we're all part of the family of God. And so I don't try to fight for social justice. That's not what we're here for. Because I know that our Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied justice for all who believe in Him. I'm thankful that Christ satisfied the justice of God for all who believe in Him. Now let me say, I believe that our Lord knew exactly what He was doing when He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Our Lord knew that we needed fellowship. We needed encouragement with other believers of faith. We needed what? The Word of God. We needed fellowship. We needed the truth. And I believe that's why our Lord Jesus Christ established the church even during His earthly ministry. And I believe, listen, I'll go on and say that I believe it's God's plan that every child of God ought to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. I believe that with all my heart. Now, the old Billy Graham used to say to his converts, "Now join the church of your choice. Go join the church of your choice." No, I believe you ought to join the church of God's choice. And I tell you what, I'll even go so far as to say I believe it's a Baptist church. Amen? So we ought to be part of a New Testament, Sovereign Grace, Baptist church, where we can put our light on a candlestick and count for the Lord. So we are friends of God. We are friends of one another. Listen, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so whenever I see a rainbow, I think of that. Hey, God is so good, He gave me a church that I can be part of. Now, everybody thinks, well, one church is as good as another. I don't think so. I think churches that are founded by Christ are better than those that are not. I think churches that preach the Word of God are better than those that don't preach the Word of God. And there's sad business going on today in so-called churches. They have nothing more than entertainment. They might give a smattering of the Bible just to appear like they're doing something for God, but they're not devoted to the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the Bible tells us, listen, that we are to contend earnestly for the faith that's once delivered to the saints. Contend for that faith. So, listen, we need Christian friends, brothers, sisters in Christ, and the rain, we know, will come. But that's when the rainbow appears. After the rain, sometimes. Charles Spurgeon said, "Look, believer, when thou hast a cloud, look for a token when there's rain in your life. When the clouds have covered you and you're down. And it appears like there's no light. It's so cloudy, it's so rainy, it's so dreary in your life that you even sometimes cannot see your way out. Look for the rainbow." That God would give you a token. And I think that token is a token of friendship. What, listen, Noma, what would you do without God's people praying for you and for your precious God? You'd be lost. I think sometimes people encounter a problem in church and there's some kind of offense that takes place or some kind of problem that they run into and they do the wrong thing. "Well, I'm just going to leave church." No! That's when you need the church the most. It's when you got the clouds, because it's only after the cloud and the rain that you see the rainbow. But now here's the third thing. This rainbow represents a fruitful covenant of God. We are to reproduce ourselves. We're to be witnesses for Christ. The rainbow speaks of a covenant of friendship. We who know the Lord are together. Hey, we're in this together. But then the rainbow also speaks of a covenant of forgiveness. And I love that. You read here in Genesis chapter 9 that God promises something. What's He promise? He said in verse 15, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. There'll never be another flood that will destroy all flesh. May destroy your home, but never the whole world. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud. And notice this. God says, I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Whenever you look at that beautiful rainbow, it should remind you that God's judgment has passed from us. The sun now shines. The rainbow peers through the haze. And it is God's covenant of grace, is His willingness to pass over our sin, to forgive us of all of our sins and trespasses and shortcomings. I will remember my covenant with you. God said it. God will never forget His covenant of grace. He'll keep His word. Now, I tell you what, we often forget, don't we? Our minds are frail. You know, I'm so forgetful of so many things these days. I mean, sometimes I wander around parking lots trying to find my car. I forget names, and then I have to write things down, but I forget where I wrote it down. Kind of reminds me of the three guys who lived together in a two-story house. There were three brothers. They were age 92, 94, and 96, and they all lived together in the same house. And so one night, the 96-year-old, the oldest guy, he drew a bath. You know, he filled up his bathtub, and he put his foot in that bathtub, and he paused, and he yelled downstairs. He said, was I getting in or out of this tub? The 94-year-old yelled back and said, I don't know. I'll come up and see. And so he started up the stairs, and he paused, and then he yelled out, was I going up the stairs or was I coming down? But the 92-year-old was sitting at the kitchen table having coffee, listening to the foolishness of his brothers. And he shook his head and he said, I sure hope I never get that forgetful. And he knocked on wood for good luck. Then he yelled, I'll come up and help both of you as soon as I see who's at the door. Oh, we forget. We may forget. But God never forgets. He never forgets His covenant of grace. Oh, I like the way Mr. Spurgeon again put it. He said, my looking to Jesus brings me joy and peace, but it is God's looking to Jesus which secures my salvation and that of all of His elect. For it is impossible for our God to look at Christ, our bleeding surety, and then to be angry with us for sins already punished in Him. Did you see that in the Bible? Oh, I couldn't help but notice that. Where it says that God said, I'll remember my covenant. I will look on that rainbow, God said. So not only do we look at the rainbow and remember God's mercy and grace, but did you know that God also looks at the rainbow? Says it right here. And He remembers. One Jewish Orthodox scholar said that the Jews confess their sins whenever they see a rainbow. I don't know about all that. But let us all remember what our loving God has saved us from. He has saved us, from a flood tide of sin and wrath. That's what God has done. Well, here's one final thing. The covenant of grace is a covenant available for all flesh. That's what we read. That God promised there would never again be a universal flood upon all flesh. But that certainly doesn't mean that there won't be a universal judgment upon mankind. The first time it was by a flood of water. The next time it'll be by fire. Yes, everyone one day will face the Lord. But yet by God's covenant of grace, we can say with assurance and confidence that the judgment has passed from those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. God's word says there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So we read that God Himself looks upon the rainbow and continually recognizes His covenant of grace with His beloved people. You see, this grace lasts forever. Nothing on earth lasts forever. We're not going to last forever. Is that right? But His grace does. It will never fail. Now the rainbow emerges from the dark cloud, and the Bible tells us that there was a day when darkness descended over Calvary, a darkness which no one could see on that fateful day when Jesus hung there on that cross to die for our sins. There was darkness over all the land. But I wonder when Jesus died and famously said, "It is finished," that perhaps there was a rainbow. Well, it doesn't say so. But maybe there was. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so our sins have passed from us. The darkness has taken our sin away, and now the light shines through a rainbow of love. I remember when I was a little boy, I happened to live in western Pennsylvania. We lived there for a couple of years. Boy, you get big snowdrifts up there. They didn't call school off. We'd get our big galoshes and big boots on, man, and we would walk in that 2-foot snow all the way. I'd walk a mile to get to the elementary school. And if I didn't get there on time, I had a teacher that would meet me at the door with her ruler and start smacking me on the hand. "You need to get here earlier." We live in a different day now. But I remember living up there in a little community called Clo Hill. There's a lot of hills up in Pennsylvania. And I'll never forget it. When I was a little boy, my grandpa told me a lot of tales. Grandpas do that sometimes. And there were hills right behind, big hills right behind our little house there in Clo in Pennsylvania. And that's where the groundhogs lived. Yeah. Because I used to go up there and see if I could see any of those groundhogs. I'd get up there and look down in that hole. "Hey! Are you coming out? Because if you come out, there's only, 8 weeks of winter left." Well, they never came out. And so I would pick huckleberries. Have you ever had huckleberries? Oh, Grandma would make huckleberry pie. My grandpa told me a lot of things. He'd take me out on the back porch, and he would say, "Hey, did you know there's Indians that live up there, George?" "Indians." I said, "Really? Wow." And then he would tell me, he would say, I see some leprechauns, you know, and that rainbow, George, back there, there's leprechauns at the end of that rainbow, and that song would play. And I would go out and try to find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Well, I guess I'm still looking for that pot of gold. I haven't found it yet. But do you remember that Dorothy sang that song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. They fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, can't I? Well, Dorothy dreamed of going back home to Kansas. She's trying to make her way back. Somewhere over the rainbow is our home. Heaven is our home. And I tell you, it's not just a dream. It's real. And God made a covenant of grace with every one of us that believe in Jesus. And you can experience it too. You can know the joy of the rainbow of love as you look to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your only Lord and Savior. He died for sinners. He can forgive you of your sin. Our Lord Jesus can save your soul. By grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you bow your head with me? Father, every time I see that rainbow after the rain, it reminds me of the promises that you've made to us. A promise of grace. Lord, we could never find out where you are on our own. You find us. And I'm so grateful that you found me one day, lost in sin. And you gave me even a faith that I could believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm so grateful for your grace. I pray that for everyone here today, that if there should even be one person here that's not saved, I pray even right now, my Father, right at this moment, that you would give them grace that they might look beyond and look to that rainbow of love, that they might set their eyes upon you, Lord Jesus, and love you and believe in you as their only Lord and Savior. Grant it, I pray, for the glory of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you later.